It is Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Are you pumped? Are you hyped?
No. Like, it's just kind of like an inevitable slow train that's about to
Can
do
we
it.
Can
like,
we just say it's inevitable that it's going to be Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump?
Yep.
Because we pretty much know at this point. Like, it's been cute. I've been listening to a lot of talk radio. And they're doing the like, well, you know, Rubio could surprise people, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe Cruz, and I'm just like, no,
wishful thinking.
It's just not happening.
Wishful thinking. These are all the people who 6 months ago were like, Trump will never last the end of the week.
Pretty much.
Trump will never last the end of the week, and I'll be honest, I was one of those people. But all of those people are still making predictions like, no, Marco Rubio can still pull it off. And then, like, I've resigned myself to just thinking, like, no, like, this is the route this is gonna go. This is how this is happening.
I remember when the first show we did, we were looking at, like, I think we were talking a lot about Ted Cruz. I don't know if we spent too much time with Marco Rubio, but we were kind of looking at Trump as a joke. And kind of like, yeah, he's running, but whatever. And like, mm-hmm. we were laughing about him giving kids helicopter rides at the Iowa State Fair, yep. and it was just kind of silly stuff. Hi joins us in the chat room, said that he voted for Rubio today, and he doesn't understand this Trump shit. The Trump thing is interesting to me because there's people that I'm very good friends with or family members that are Republicans, and they either really really like Donald Trump or they fucking hate him.
Yep.
And they just, it's one or the other. Yep. And there's been this talk of a brokered convention if he gets the nomination that they're not going to.
I don't think they'll risk it. I think they'll lay way off and they'll just accept that Hillary's going to be their president. I don't think they'll risk it.
They'll just accept Hillary because they hate Hillary so much.
Yeah, I think they'll accept Hillary because, like, what their other option? Their other option.
Oh, shit, sorry. That's the dog. That's all right.
Their other option,
we had a dog,
is to piss off about 33% of their own party, right? Everybody who loves Trump, let's say that maybe half of them, so like 15%, and the Tea Party starts their own party. Like, I don't think they can risk that. Their entire base, who loves them some Trump, I don't think they can risk it. That's just my bullshit opinion. They might do it. They might go for broke and try and shove Rubio or even Ron Paul down everybody's throats.
I just don't. I don't see it. I just don't see it right now. It just seems pretty obvious. It's going to be Donald Trump. Let's look at some of the results so far.
Pull those up.
Trump has, and we're watching because I think at some point Trump's going to speak. Trump has definitely won Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go state by state because it just it's easier to break it down that way. Trump is now, unfortunately, the way they've broken this stuff down, I have to look at what's on the line here. So I'm going to start with Georgia just because this is how I have it all set up right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Trump, they're basically saying he's projected to win. There's only 23% in, but he's projected to win. So that's 11 delegates for him right there. You go to the state of Vermont, which is right now. Actually, I can flip back and forth through Georgia. Hold on. Clinton is the projected winner of Georgia. Trump is the projected winner of Georgia. You go to Vermont, which is where Bernie's from. He's projected to win with 17% in. Right now, there's only 14% in, and Trump is in the lead mm-hmm. with Kasich in second. So that one's still heavily going on. Virginia, Trump is your projected winner with 85% in, and Clinton is your projected winner with 84% in. So far, we're seeing a lot of Trump and Hillary doing their thing right now at the moment. Let's go to, where did I miss? Alabama. Greenbow, Alabama. Clinton is right. Wow, there's only 1% in it. She's projected to win. Trump right now is at, he's projected to win with also 1% in. So it's just Trump, Hillary at this point. Let me continue on. I'm just going by the list of what I got here. Massachusetts. Trump is the projected winner with 13% in. This one's a little different, though, for the Democratic side. Clinton and Sanders very close. Clinton is ahead right now 52% to Sanders 46 with 10%. And so we'll have to keep an eye on Massachusetts tonight.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Sorry about the dogs in the background, everybody. Oklahoma, you have Cruz in the lead right now, 19%. But it's a small lead, 32.2% to Trump's 31.2%. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. And Sanders has a 50 to 41% lead over Hillary with 19% in so far. Just going to keep this train rolling. Tennessee, Clinton is the projected winner with 68% of the vote, and Trump is the projected winner with 44% of the vote, 21% in total at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if this is boring, but there's just a lot of states.
There's a lot of states. Super Tuesday really is super.
Clinton's talking right now. Do we want to hear from her, see what she's saying?
Sure.
Okay, let's
listen. She just won five states.
Let's listen to Hillary.
Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia.
And to all my friends, many of a lifetime who traveled to all the states to tell people about the candidate they knew, and to the hundreds of thousands of people who went to HillaryClinton.com to give what they could, most less than $100.
We should add, she's projected to win Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia, if I got my abbreviations correct.
The Motor City, yep. And beyond. We're going to work for every vote, and we will need all of you to keep volunteering, contributing, doing everything you can, talking to your friends and neighbors, because this country belongs to all of us, not just those at the top. Not just to people who look one way, worship one way, or even think one way.
It's amazing how much her message now sounds like Bernie's.
It does.
America prospers when we all prosper. America is strong when we're all strong.
I'm not liking the high-pitched woman that keeps screaming.
And we know we've got work to do.
Okay.
But that work is not to make America great again. America never stopped being great.
She's getting started.
She's gonna start slamming Trump now.
We have to make America whole. We have to fill in.
Did she just say we have to fill a hole? Or what did she say?
I don't know.
There's a hole we have to fill, Sean.
To make strong the broken places, restitch the bonds of trust and respect across our country. Now, it might be unusual, as I've said before, for a presidential candidate to say this, but I'm going to keep saying it.
She's going to say
it. I believe what we need in America today is more love and kindness.
Yuck. I don't like that at all. That's gross. All right, is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done with
that. That stinks. I'm sorry.
I'm done with it.
Ugh, what a terrible speech. More love and kindness, Sean. We need to be nice to it. I mean, I know what she's doing because Trump's a big meanie and...
She's doing the opposite of Trump, which I can agree with.
I get it. And Trump's, you know, can be obnoxious. I get it. But that's just... that was gross. I didn't like that.
I think Hillary's taking the tack like Dwight Schrute from The Office. Remember Dwight Schrute from The Office?
Of course.
If I ask myself, would an idiot do that thing? And if the answer is yes, I do not do that thing.
I do not do such thing.
Hillary must say, I ask myself, would Donald Trump do that thing? And if the answer is yes, I do not do that thing. I do the opposite of that thing.
That was gross. I just didn't like it. As soon as she said that, I just went, no.
But when you look at like Barack Obama and the way the dude can get up there and just... talk, mm-hmm. And you're like, man, I believe that guy.
I did. I bought into it.
I still buy into it. Like, the guy comes up and he's talking. I'm like, you know, I can trust that guy. And then Bernie Sanders jumps up and you're like, that guy looks batshit crazy. But
his hair.
And the way he's just yelling and some of the stuff he's saying is batshit crazy. But he believes it. And I think he's genuine and honest, or at least as close as you can get. But then when she talks, I just don't see it, and I don't see her in her speeches. It's all like
it seems
this is what's tested.
Yeah.
This is the political tact we're going to take. And to be honest, the most genuine I've seen her was, it was shortly after Bernie had his run in with Black Lives Matter when they jumped up on the stage.
Sure, yeah.
And they managed it better.
Because he had, just backed off. Yeah.
Well, he left, but Hillary had, they had a private discussion that was taped by her campaign, and then the campaign released it after making sure that there wasn't anything awful, I think. So, but when she was talking to them, she flat out told them, like, you can't change people's hearts and minds. You're not going to do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. There's hearts, and there's minds, and there's people that are made up. And basically, she said, well, what we can change is the political discourse. What we can change is laws. What we can do is force society to create equality. And I was like, that's the most genuine I've seen her. Where she's just, like, you know, when she gets down to it and she starts talking politics and she's not in front of, like, a camera or speeches or people, and she's just sitting there and having, like, I think she can talk politics really, really well.
She can, but there's this element of what you were saying where it's like, it just, she's just like, well, guys, I'm gonna, this is happening. Like, it just, like, it felt like Bernie was kind of going to give a genuine challenge. It doesn't seem like that's going to be a thing anymore. It things like, it feels like that's over.
It's, well, just, yeah, she already had too many.
She had too many superdelegates.
Superdelegates, so it was like already a big uphill battle.
Which
so,
is another thing. I know Ken had messaged me a couple weeks ago after we did our Iowa caucus show, was, what is a superdelegate? What does that mean to be a superdelegate? Because yeah, so many people keep hearing that term associated with Hillary about, you know, what is this individual, or what does this mean, basically?
So what a superdelegate is, and the Democrats have superdelegates. The Republicans have unpledged delegates. Basically the same thing, but the Democrats have more of them. And it is a lever by which the party manipulates, or not manipulates, but swings which way they want to go. So you and I, Adam, we voted along with however many thousand people in our district when we caucused, and we get one delegate to go to the county, and then they have a caucus at the county level, and from the county they go to the state level. So out of that, I forget how many delegates Iowa had, but you and I and like maybe 48,000 other people are represented by one delegate. So what a superdelegate is a Republican senator, a Republican governor, I'm sorry, a Democratic senator or governor, or political affiliate of the party at a high level. They get an unpledged, so they don't have to listen to a voter. They just have to meet with whomever they want to meet with, and they get to vote wholly beholden unto themselves. There is no representation they're giving. So I think it, I forget how many superdelegates there were. We could Google it. But what that means is the party, the, I don't know if you want to use the word insiders, but the party establishment, if you had an outsider like Bernie Sanders is, he has an, before anyone even casts a vote, he's got an uphill battle because Hillary had a bunch of unpledged delegates. So let me look.
By the way, they're projecting that Cruz has won Texas along with Hillary right now. So,
Tejas.
There's, oh man, there's so many. She's just racking up delegates, man.
Yep.
It's just, here we go, man.
What is it? She has 222 right now?
That's, Texas. That's just Texas alone. She picked up two. That's what's interesting about this is she just keeps, the longer this drags out, the more delegates she, and again, like, you know, there's a few debates left, and it's just like, why are we, as more of these states progress, the more the results come in, the more delegates they pick up, you can just do the math, and you can figure out who's going to get it. I mean, yeah.
I'm reading here, there's 712 superdelegates, roughly 30% of the total number needed to win the nomination, which is 2,383.
Okay.
So, and I think she hadn't locked them all up because some delegates go with, like, which way their state went or they haven't decided yet. So I think last I heard she had, like, four high 400s. So,
jeez. I looked at, now this is as of 8 o'clock our time, so 9 Eastern. When you break down the delegates among all the candidates right now, on the Republican side, Trump right now has 182, Rubio has 28, Cruz has 22, Kasich has 6, and Carson has 5. They need 1,237 to get the nomination, and there's still well over 2,000 still on the table.
Here it is, 457 superdelegates to Clinton.
Okay.
Compared to 22 for Bernie.
Yes.
So Bernie, as of this graphic, had 85, and Hillary had 544.
She's right now has 723 super, a combination between pledged delegates and superdelegates has 723. Sanders has 158.
Yeah.
So it's not happening, right?
But, I mean. And she is flat out winning most of these states. So
she is.
I'm not saying that it's not representative, but had this been closer, those superdelegates would have skewed this one way or the other, which I don't feel is usurping democracy. It's just a rigged system where I think parties just screw the people.
Basically,
you're screwed. Republicans are more fair about their way of picking nominee.
And there's three caucuses tonight in Texas, Colorado, and Minnesota. I just read the Texas results. I'm going to look at let's look at Colorado, where they're probably smoking weed on the way. Actually, no, that's actually scheduled for April 9th. I'm sorry. I thought that was on the line today. Minnesota was the other one. So Minnesota tonight so far, actually, there's no results in for Minnesota yet. So we're going to have to wait on that one a little bit. Let's see what else. I thought that was there something in Alaska. Yeah, that hasn't come in yet. There's Alaska and then Wyoming, I believe, is the other one. So or maybe that's later. I see there's just a giant list of different stuff going on, but I'm looking at this thing called a political prediction market, which is basically the odds of who gets the nomination or not. Hillary has a 95% odd of getting the nomination, and Trump has an 80% odd. So, I mean, I know, and I was reading the results, like, on the Republican side, there's still over 2,000 delegates up for grabs, and there's more coming up, obviously. But, I mean, at what point do we just kind of, I guess here's a question for you, because we've talked about this in depth on this show, of not being very fond of Hillary. And even Trump too. It's like, I'm hearing more policy stuff, but I'm also seeing this other side of him too, where there's been a lot of added coverage of stuff that he said, where he's flip-flopped on issues. There was a quote, I think a while ago, where he was talking about if he was going to run for president, he would run Republican because he finds that base to be easier to, he didn't use the word manipulate, but he basically implied that if you run as a Republican because it's an easier way to get votes and you know kind of what to say and what to do and it kind of works in your favor. And now people are going after him about that. Who's the KKK guy? Duke, is that his name?
Yeah, David Duke.
How he was kind of saying, like, I don't know who this guy is. And then John Oliver had a clip on a show on Sunday.
It was awesome. It was
basically
hilarious.
He was talking about Duke. He's like, oh, I'm very aware of this guy. And I was just like, hold on. So I've heard this other take too, and I don't know what you think about this, of like, he's playing a role to get the nomination, and then once he gets the nomination, he becomes more moderate, because there's a criticism against him that he's not conservative enough for that wing of the party that wants someone like a Rubio or wanted someone like a Romney or, you know, a George Bush or somebody like that.
I have no clue. Like, I have no clue what propels the man. One moment he is saying that, you know, one moment he's saying that he can't let people die out on the streets and basically saying that healthcare for all is a good idea. And the next moment, he's talking about how socialism will destroy America, and Bernie Sanders wants to destroy America. The guy, I don't know what drives him. I don't know where. I flat out don't know what he'll do. I don't think he knows what he's gonna do. I don't think he has a plan. I think he literally wakes up and just goes, all right, where's my call list? Starts calling on to radio shows and TV shows and just says whatever the fuck he wants at that moment. He's got like a general guideline of what he says, but I honestly don't think that the guy has a long-term plan. Doesn't seem that way anyway.
Well, in the early days, like when he was getting interviewed, they would ask him foreign policy stuff and he would just kind of be like, well, we're going to change a lot of things. We're going to bring a lot of people in. We're going to do a lot of things. And it's like, it was very like non-answer. It was just total non-answers. And then he's been kind of with these debates. I remember you had sent me a message a couple, like a week or so ago when the last debate took place. You're like, oh my God, you have to watch this. And I caught a moment where it was Trump and Rubio bickering, and they were going back and forth about, well, it was a lot of Trump attacking Rubio's character and stuff like that. And that's kind of what Rubio's been doing in recent weeks, is been kind of attacking Trump's character and say, we don't need people like this in the party. They're embarrassing us. It's time to put someone like me, you know, into the power position, but it's not happening. I mean, there's they've been describing Trump supporters as angry white males. And I don't know if that's generalizing too much his base. I mean, there's certainly, I'm very aware of angry white guys that are voting for Trump, but I don't know if that necessarily is representative of the entire group of people voting for him.
Yeah.
Because I do think there are some people that are just kind of sick about how fake, like we were just talking about Hillary, how she sounds like an android. She sounds like an android to me when she talks. And then you have somebody like Trump talk and it's totally different. It's a totally different presentation. He's attacking people on a stage. He's getting very aggressive with them. And I think some people are like, oh, this is different. I kind of like this. But do you want that person to have the nuke codes is my question. And I don't know.
I don't think they care.
They must not care.
Part of So when I see Trump running around, there's part of me that just loves it, right? So you had Jeb Bush and Scott Walker, who a year ago, everybody was saying it'll be either one of those two against Hillary Clinton. No, like no doubt about it. No doubt about it. He had $100 million. Jeb Bush had $100 million. And Donald Trump is the reason that didn't work. That's it. He's the reason it didn't work. I don't like the guy. I think most of the shit he says is batshit crazy. There are a few things that I like. Like now and again, I'll be like, oh, I think I agree with what Donald Trump just said. And then I have to look at okay, do I need to check any definitions of what would, sorry. But when you see the guy upset the apple cart the way he has, and how awful the apple cart was, and the party establishment, the media establishment, was going to just happily let that thing roll along, because one of the people that was an insider, a quote-unquote insider, was going to be the presidential nominee. And then Trump comes along, and I think a lot of people are reacting to how awful the political party or the political process has become, not necessarily Donald Trump.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like if Kanye West ran for president, well, Kanye West is a bad.
This is
If Ted Nugent ran for president, it'd have the same result. I don't think it's Donald Trump. I think it would have been anybody. I think the Duck Dynasty guy could have run. Anyone, Uncle Si could have run for president, and he'd have the same reaction.
He was he was up there preaching for Ted Cruz the other day. Yeah,
he was. Uh-oh, you just cut out.
Did we just cut out?
You did.
Uh-oh, are we still there? I'm still here. I'm still here. I don't know.
You're
what
not
happened.
Still there. I'm still here. Am I still there for you?
No.
I'm not still there.
Well, I still got the audio rolling, but
because you're not still here.
I'm here. I don't know if the audio just cut. Well, no, the audio's still going. I think my internet was being goofy, so maybe I just need you to call back in.
Okay.
Let me just have you call back in. There you go. Try that. No, but Hyde in the chat said, I don't want my kids to see their president calling people idiots or stupid or whatever. So, you know, there's I get that. And I totally get that. And why people would be cautious. And he's not your typical political I don't even know what the term necessarily would be. He's just not the status quo. I mean,
Not the insider.
He's not the insider.
That's what he likes to say.
Well, yeah, I guess. You know? But that's what I remember, like, McCain said. You know, he was the, what, he was the wild, no, it wasn't, he was a rogue? Or,
a rogue, yeah.
A rogue, yeah.
Sarah Palin was going rogue.
Yeah, that's right. She went rogue quite a bit. I don't know, dude. It just, this is the strangest political process I've, because I talk to a lot of people, a lot of my friends are Republicans, and they fucking hate Trump. And they, like, one of my friends, Hunter, was voting today. He's like, who should I write in? Because he's disappointed with, it sounds like, obviously, based on what he was saying, he's disappointed with everybody. Trump, Cruz, mm-hmm. Rubio, you know, Kasich, Carson, whatever. I mean, it just, and Kasich's been like the I'm going to run a clean campaign guy, which is kind of cute, and it works, and some people gravitate to it, but that's not going to win you delegates, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what to think. It's this has been strange. It's been, there was this, I had like a, I'm going to try to bring you back in here again. I don't know why it's not bringing you in for some reason. Have you call back in?
You know what? I'll just drop out completely.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'll try and jump back
try
on.
Try about that. I remember there was when we did this a couple weeks ago, when we were the first state to vote, I had this kind of, adorable, like, oh, this is going to be different. It's not going to be Hillary. It's not going to be Trump. It's going to be different. Now, granted, I knew that Cruz winning didn't really mean anything because Iowa, you know, is very evangelical, very religious. So it was pretty obvious that it was going to be, most likely was going to be Cruz.
Yeah.
But I had this like sense of like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be as predictable as we thought it was going to be, especially with Bernie keeping it as close as he did. And nope, it just, as soon as, I mean, what, at what point did you kind of start to see the, it just seemed like it was going to be Hillary. It just kind of had a, like, cause I'm looking at some of the past stuff, that we weren't on the air for, like, Clinton picking
November 5th, 2008.
What was that day?
That's the day I knew that it was going to be Hillary.
You just knew right away.
Yeah.
Just knew.
Well, yeah. She lost, and she kind of did, like, the, and then she's kind of, like, I just tell, like, that's when I knew, and, I, like, and you just watch, she got the sitting vice president of the United States of America to bow out before he even fucking announced.
That's true.
Like, there's, I mean, I just couldn't see any other way for Bernie. Like, if I had to pick between the two of them.
I think he's a lesser
two evils, but
I just felt like there was a genuine like, okay, it's not going to be as predictable because everyone was, it was Hillary has a cakewalk to this nomination, and then when Bernie kept it as close as he did, I was like, oh, maybe not, and then she picks up. It was kind of like as soon as the Iowa caucus was wrapped up, she won the New Hampshire primary. The other surprise of the New Hampshire primary was Kasich winning,
mm-hmm.
Or coming in. He was coming in second, rather. He didn't win the New Hampshire primary.
You gotta check your video, man.
My video is still live. Is my internet shit now?
I'm not seeing your video at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let us know in the chat. I can reboot it if there's something goofy going on right now.
There might be goofiness.
Because I think my internet's still rocking, so I thought it was my internet, but
yeah,
could have been. It could be. Let us know. I'll say, can everyone see me right now?
I bet they all say no.
I don't know. We'll find out. But it was pretty much like right after Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada. It was just kept on.
The Hill says that Sanders just won Oklahoma.
Interesting.
He's still going to lose a nomination, but he just won Oklahoma.
He's still picking up state by state.
Which is fun.
Yeah, but that's cute. That's
fun. Cute. Yeah,
yeah, he's got 51.6% of the vote to Hillary's 40. So. Sean's like, I can't see. There's like six or seven people can't that were it. In with us right now, yeah. So I can't tell. I could refresh it if you'd like.
Refresh it.
Okay.
Just try it.
Let's pause the recording here.
I can't see you.
And then let's refresh. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry about
this. Doesn't affect anybody that's listening to the podcast though. So let's call in. Now I got you right there. There we go. We're back.
All
right.
Yay!
Resume recording. Yay! We're back.
Yay!
Okay. So Bernie picks up Oklahoma.
Hey, isn't that special?
That is special. Where the what's how's the song go? Where the wind goes sweeping down the plain. I don't remember how it goes. I don't know.
I almost burst into song and I was like, nope, this is going to be recorded. It's going to go on the internet forever. No thanks. Awesome. Everybody else doesn't want to see that shit either. But I think that's, I think it's interesting that he won a southern state. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma is relatively rural.
The South Carolina thing I thought was interesting because black evangelical voters tend to be very religious. And they were very pro-Clinton during the Clinton administration for the 8 years.
Okay.
And the idea was that they were so pro-Clinton, she was going to slide in and do fine. And then there was a lot of people giving speeches on behalf of Bernie, or at least at Bernie rallies, like Killer Mike, he's a rapper. He was saying, like, I don't see footage of Hillary at, you know, segregation rallies and stuff like that. Like Bernie Sanders was arrested, I think, in Chicago. He was part of like a segregation protest, and he was, but that didn't matter. I just, for some reason, black voters were just like, eh, we're good. We're going to go with Hillary. We like her, you know? And so she just annihilated Bernie in South Carolina. It was pretty bad for him. And I think they were expecting it, 'cause he pulled out pretty quick. I noticed he was just like, okay, this is...
See, that's got to be frustrating because Bernie's reached out to that community so much more, I feel, Hillary did.
But I don't know.
He's tried. And I feel like his policies I feel like his policies are more geared towards that community to support them more than Hillary would have. But it's got to be frustrating that voters vote with their gut, not with their brain. You know what I mean? Like that.
That's what a lot of people do, though.
I know. Like, when you look at it, when you talk to a lot of, I'll just, rednecks, there's some fucking rednecks love Donald Trump and love Ted Cruz and love Rubio and love the GOP.
I sat at a table with a person that loves Ted Cruz. I shared a story with you recently.
Yeah. Well,
he did the praise. Like, oh, Iowa saw the way. I was like, oh, God, I need to get myself another beer.
But the thing is, like, some of these people live paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. Like, they work for just above minimum wage and blue-collar jobs. And the type of jobs that would be benefited by infrastructure support, you know, or government spending to improve roads and bridges and schools and infrastructure. And they call it socialism. Like, they don't vote for their own best interest. It's all like, no, Donald Trump said he's going to make America great again, and I fucking believe him. And well, you're like, but
how?
But how?
Yeah.
And I get that you want somebody to sit across from Putin and stare him in the face until he starts crying.
Yes.
But what does that do for you?
That's been a big criticism.
Other than bring us closer to World War III and nuclear annihilation.
Well, I think we're already there with regardless who becomes president. I mean, they have a Cold War clock that is closer now than it was even in the 80s, which is fucking frightening. There's a great Vice documentary about it.
I think people have forgotten. I think people have just forgotten. I don't think it's that close. I think people have just forgotten.
They might be hyping it a little bit, but there was a great Vice documentary, part of their miniseries. Mm-hmm. Where we have troops training people, part of NATO, surrounding Russia. And when they were asking a soldier, like, what do you think this is? Like, what's going on? He's like, well, I've just been put here to train these guys. They go, yeah, we get that. But, like do you feel like something? He's like, I think it speaks for itself. And I went, like, that was frightening because if Russia attacks any of those NATO allies, we're at war with Russia.
No. Well, technically, yeah.
Technically, yes. Not officially.
They'd have to invoke Article 5.
They would.
But when you look at the U.S. right now has had to prop up monetarily, prop up NATO, right?
Yes.
So much of this shit going on over there. Like, America is the shield that protects Europe now.
I like how you said America there. You went America.
America is the... And no, I mean this seriously.
It's true.
America's been the shield that protects Europe.
It is.
America has been the shield that has protected the Pacific from Chinese expansionism. We still are. And for the foreseeable future, we will be. However, we haven't been doing as boisterous a job of it. Everybody knows that Putin can have right-wing separatists in a country start to overwhelm that country, and then basically they vote to annex themselves to Russia, and he has provided some troops not in Russian outfits or uniforms to assist them in doing that, and he expands his territory, and we know that it's Putin, but we choose not to do shit about it, right? So you have America is the shield, and then we choose not to act. So if Putin starts fucking around, you also have a lack of political will and a lack of dollars being put into the shield in Europe from our NATO allies, right?
Sounds
so
scary.
It becomes the military will be directed to help potentially, right? But let's face it, we are the shield. And it could come down to a Republican president who is an isolationist, Trump, who says, you guys didn't pay for your own protection. I'm not going to send America over there. We're just going to leave our bases to you, and I'm going to fly all the Americans home. And you'd have a fuckload of people in America that'd go, yeah, they didn't fucking pay their bill. They didn't fucking pay their bill.
Yeah, they would.
So I don't know how strong that is right now.
I guess there's this part of me that, like, I the one thing I always hear from conservatives and Republicans is that we are a weaker nation because of President Obama, and that we need someone who's tougher on foreign policy. But do you want that person to be Donald Trump? Do you want that to be? Do you want?
Well,
Trump?
You
got
to ask yourself when you say tougher on foreign policy.
I
basically
think,
what they mean is we need to put boots on the ground and bombers in the air, right?
That's basically what they're saying. But I think there's also a sense of like. They liked George W. Bush because he was kind of the cowboy with the revolver on the hip, and he was, hey, you know. And Obama's
that revolver on your hip cost $5 trillion over the last 15 years.
But Obama's the opposite. He's kind of, you know, he's a dork from Chicago, basically, that plays basketball. I mean, he's just a different dude compared to George Bush, you know.
Yep.
So I think, but when they say that, I don't think when they said that they had Donald Trump in mind. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, Donald Trump, you know, makes million-dollar deals, so why don't we have him use those skills with... I'm just like, are you... I don't know, man. There's just something about when I hear someone say that, I go, think about what you're saying. Like,
there's something different about negotiating with Vladimir Putin
than
negotiating with your drywaller.
And there's lives at stake. I mean, there's serious consequences to how... Because Hyde mentioned earlier... that he didn't want his kids seeing their president calling people idiots or stupid. Like, can you imagine if Trump just calls a press conference and starts calling Putin a poop head or something? And then, I mean, who knows how they'd react to someone just talking shit about them, you know? And
but, I mean, I don't know if he meant to. I think his stance on Israel, though, was interesting. The rest of them were saying that they were going to come in on the side of Israel no matter what.
Okay.
And what they're doing is they're going after Sheldon Adelson's money, right?
Okay.
Sheldon Adelson, he's a billionaire, and he throws a shitload of money every year at every 2 years at Republican nominees for whatever office they're running for. Or whenever he can, really. So, Trump doesn't have to go after that money. And what he said the other night in the debate was, listen, I'm not going to pick sides. I'm going to go in there as a good faith negotiator, and I will negotiate from a position of neutrality or objective. I forget his exact words, but basically saying, I'm not going to state that I'm going to pick sides here and there. We're going to sit down at the table and we're going to talk. It'll be the hardest deal I've ever made. It'll be a tough deal, and it'll be a tough deal. It'll be the hardest deal I've ever done, toughest I've ever done. Nobody else can do it, but I think I can do it. It'll be tough, but I can do it. Like, that was a Donald Trump. And I was sitting there going, I think that's correct.
Yeah, it's not totally terrible.
That's not the worst idea I've heard in regards to Israel and Palestine.
Because generally the party line is you protect Israel no matter what.
Right. It's like our 51st state.
It is, basically.
Yeah.
And he approaches it from a whole different... He approaches it as almost a contract negotiation.
Right.
And it's... I mean...
Like two kids fighting in the back seat. Listen, I love you both. But if I have to come back there, I'm going to hurt both of you.
I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, I'm going to beat the shit. Like, listen, I'll, don't make me bring the belt, all right? I'll park a carrier group, an aircraft carrier group off your fucking shore.
Don't make me do that. I listened today. Chris Christie endorsed Trump this week, or last week, rather. Did you see the video of him telling Christie to leave and get on his plane?
No.
I have to play this for you.
Who is that?
Oh boy, Christie.
Trump did.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can find Donald Trump. Chris Christie plane. I'm sure somebody has it on YouTube. He basically. I didn't see the full speech, but there was a moment where they're outside of a big Trump plane, and Christie obviously gave some kind of a speech. And audibly, the microphone on the podium picks up Trump telling him to get in the plane and go home. And it's weird because Chris Christie spent close to a year bashing Donald Trump and going after him. And there was a George Stephanopoulos interview with him where George was kind of like, well, you said this about him, but now you're endorsing him. And you said this, but now you're endorsing him. And I don't understand. He's like, listen, George, things change. You know, I think he's the right person for what we need. And he was like, I don't want Hillary to become president. And I think this is the right course of action and all this stuff. But there was this moment, though, when he endorsed. I'm going to try to bring it up here. Is the audio.
Ooh, that's
Get in the plane and go home. It's over there.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, get in the plane and go home.
He's like, get in the plane.
Get in the plane and go home.
So get in the plane and go home. And of course,
it's just the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah, it just happened to be.
And to be honest, before that, all that bullshit came out. It's not bullshit. But before all that
stuff,
for that Bridgegate stuff came out, he was a real contender.
I liked Chris Christie until I started hearing some of the stuff he said about like marijuana and foreign policy, and I was just like, what? Like this dude, I saw him in action in New Jersey talk. Like I remember there was this like thing he did. Where like a teacher was like complaining about pay, and Chris Christie's like, "Well, then quit your job, get another job." And I was like, "I kind of like that." It's kind of brutally honest. But then when he would just talk about other shit, he lost me. And as soon as he endorsed Trump, I was like, "You just spent a year just fucking punching this dude in the mouth, and now he
wants a pardon when he gets fucking
he
indicted.
Does. He wants a little piece of the pie.
He thinks Donald Trump's gonna win." He wants a pardon.
Well, he's probably not wrong. It seems like Trump's going to get the nomination. So why the
fuck
not?
What's he
going to
do?
Right?
Throw his weight behind considerable amount of weight.
Yeah.
Throw his weight behind Hillary.
Little fat joke there.
I know. It was.
Can you beer me, by the way? Because I've drawn empty. Goosey just joined the chat that he'll join us momentarily. He was at the Minnesota. Oh shit!
Whoops! I thought you were ready for the toss.
I was not.
Whoops!
But I rebounded.
Yep, that was nice. It rolled.
Goosey was at the Minnesota caucus.
Oh.
Up there with them Minnesota golfers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of golfers up there.
It gets cold up there now.
That's where Brock Lesnar was the NCAA champion.
Oh, okay.
NCAA, I can say that word, even though I've only had one beer.
The bully?
Mm-hmm.
So you really did wrestle?
Well, Brock Lesnar was a collegiate amateur wrestler. Yes. Oh.
Well, I guess unless he's going to run for president, we should get back over there.
Little Bork Laser. Yeah. Sorry. I had to get a. Someone on YouTube called him Bork Laser in a video, so that became like a meme for a while. So I don't know why they called him Bork Laser, but.
Because he can.
I can.
It's funny.
I just associate everything Minnesota with Brock Lesnar. That's where he's from. And he's
it's cold. It's big. A lot of lakes and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, we got fucking Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Brock Lesnar. I just went to a Boston accent for some reason, but.
Oh.
Yeah, I just envision going up to Minnesota and Brock Lesnar's giving like deers F5 on ice ponds and stuff. So that's his finishing move is an F5. He puts somebody up on his shoulder and he flips them like that, and then they fall down. So,
Did we talk about the Reagan and George H.W. Bush debate in which they were talking about free school for illegal immigrants?
No, we did not. Oh, because this ties in with Bernie's free school for everybody and stuff.
Bush versus
how soon some Reagan. People forget what some of these Republican established guys said, like, you know, 20 years ago, maybe more.
Yes. I'm going to find this. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
I believe.
While you're doing that, what do you think of Jeb Bush calling it a day?
Dude, yeah. I thought it was overdue.
Poor
to
fella.
To be frank.
Poor fella.
So here, I'm going to send this. Oopsies. This is a.
You sent me his classic Please Clap video, which was
Please clap.
I was like, oh. Some people took that differently, though. Some people took that as him trying to be funny.
And yeah, it was awful.
But it was, but like, it was please awful.
Clap. Please like, clap. Like, I get it. I know that he was trying to be funny. Like, you're not clapping in my clap line. And I'm filming a commercial, and you guys didn't clap, and you fucked it up.
It's funny. Trump is going to be speaking. He's going to be huge.
All right. We're going to juxtapose Trump with this clip I'm sending you right now. Right meow.
He's got a powerful backdrop. He's got all these American flags.
Trump knows how to market himself.
He does. I was very...
Like, let's not pussyfoot around that one.
The background caught my eye. Okay, so this is... Candidates Reagan and Bush discuss illegal immigration in 1980. Wow.
Bush 41. I think this is the clip.
I wasn't even born yet. I wasn't even a tinkle in my dad's testicles at this point. This was...
This is a family podcast.
I'm going to ask you what you do about Cuba. But now...
Did he say Cuba?
Cuba.
Cuba? Is that the Boston way of saying Cuba?
I thought he said Cuba.
I don't know what he said.
Now we're going to have some questions from the audience.
Yes, my name is David Grossberg, and I'd like to know, do you think the children of illegal aliens should be allowed to attend Texas public schools free, or do you think that their parents should pay for their education?
Who are you addressing that to?
I think you're first in this.
He was looking right at you.
I said he was.
Look, I'd like to see something done about the illegal alien problem that would be so sensitive.
Dude, pause it real quick.
This is George Bush, by the way, speaking.
Are you pausing it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the... First off, look at the way they addressed each other. It was a little bit jovial. It was I'll let you take that one.
Take that.
It was jovial. They weren't going at it. And now, instead of like going, and over here, he wants to do this, they start addressing the question directly. And I don't know where this went. But go ahead. Like, if you could, please.
I just keep wanting to talk like Reagan when I hear Reagan talk. And I just want to talk like through Mr. Gorbachev.
And so understanding about labor needs and human needs that problem wouldn't come up. But today, if those people are here, I would reluctantly say I think they would get whatever it is that they're, you know, what the society is giving to their neighbors. But the problem has to be solved. The problem has to be solved because as we have kind of made illegal some kinds of labor that I'd like to see legal, we're doing two things. We're creating a whole society of really honorable, decent, family-loving people that are in violation of the law, and secondly, we're exacerbating relations with Mexico. The answer to your question is much more fundamental than whether they attend Houston schools, it seems to me. I don't want to see a whole, if they're living here, I don't want to see a whole thing of 6 and 8 year old kids being made, you know, one totally uneducated and made to feel that they're living with outside the law. Let's address ourselves to the fundamentals. These are good people, strong people. Part of my family is a Mexican.
Can you believe that shit?
1980. This is
that was not that long ago. That was 36 years ago.
When he said that, I was like, whoa, whoa,
36
what?
Years ago, and now you have literally have these socialists saying the same thing.
I know.
Can you fucking believe that?
That's ridiculous.
Keep playing it. Okay, it gets better.
Reagan's part here. Here's Reagan. Mr. Gorbachev.
I think the time has come that the United States and our neighbors, particularly our neighbor to the south, should have a better understanding and a better relationship than we've ever had. And I think that we haven't been sensitive enough to our size and our power. They have a problem of 40 to 50% unemployment. Now, this cannot continue without the possibility arising with regard to that other country that we talked about, of Cuba and what it is stirring up, of the possibility of trouble below the border, and we could have a very hostile and strange neighbor on our border. Rather than making them or talking about putting up a fence, why don't we work out some recognition of our mutual problems, make it possible for them to come here legally with a work permit, and then while they're working and earning here, they pay taxes here. And when they want to go back, they can go back, and they can cross and open the border both ways by understanding their problems. This is
what?
Yes. So, what? So listen. He's not just talking about. He's not just talking about national policy.
That's Ronald Reagan, like, everybody. By the
like,
way,
yeah, local policy. He's talking about global policy, and this is how you protect your own borders. Like, that's this is crazy. How you're a good steward and a good neighbor. Like that. That's just smart.
That's crazy.
It's smart.
That's
like 40-50% unemployment, and we can help them.
Is that how far
we can help provide a relief valve? That's fucking smart.
Is that how far the party? No, I remember one of the debates recently. Somebody was talking about the same thing that he was talking about paying taxes. Something I don't remember who it was. I don't think
Rubio. Okay. Rubio and Kasich,
because they're not
wanted
all
to in... have wanted to have them. They would never get a path to citizenship.
Okay, that's what it was.
But they would be able to stay here legally, illegal status, and I forget exactly what his status.
Because those guys are not in favor of the border, right? They're not as they're not.
Oh
as...
no, they all want a wall on the border. They all want to secure all want the border. That. But a part of the wall on the border and a part of securing the border is immigration overhaul. So what they're proposing is we seal the border and then we, I think, Trump and Cruz do not want amnesty.
Okay.
Rubio and Kasich would never call it amnesty. What they're saying is that those are here that are here illegally, who have not broken any laws, would pay a fine and would... be given a path to not citizenship, but a path to stay here legally.
Okay.
So if not the exact wording that those two used, that were a little bit more, quite a bit more nice to people.
We are back. The last debate that was brought up quite often was I remember Trump said that the wall was going to get like 10 feet higher or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it's just a shit show sometimes when you watch those. I am done with, I don't know about you, Sean, but it's hard for me to sit there and watch all of the debates. I feel like I can stomach the highlights of it, but mm-hmm. I just to fucking sit like I remember the other night I flipped on the one that you told me to watch. I watched about 20 minutes of it. I'm like, done.
And it's the same thing. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
But they say it in different ways. And then I forget her name, but she was there with
Trump speaking.
One of his. Oh, let's watch that.
Let's see what the old Trump has to say.
I want to see how he shifts.
Evening. Already we've won 5 major states, and it looks like we could win 6 or 7 or 8 or 9.
Could win 50. I mean, it's entirely possible.
I want to congratulate Ted on the winning of Texas.
They might go back and recount.
I know how hard
there may be even states that Kasich won that we may win in the future. They may redo.
We're going to make America great again, folks. We're going to make it great again. And, you know, I watched Hillary's speech, and she's talking about wages have been poor, and everything's doing badly, but we're going to make it. She's been there for so long.
Listen, I went to Ollivander's. I got myself a magic wand. We're going to make America great again, okay? I got magic now.
It's great.
It's just going to become worse and worse. She wants to make America whole again, and I'm trying to figure out what is that all about. Make America great again is going to be much better than making America whole.
Listen, I know marketing. I know marketing.
He kind of nailed her on that because her message stunk.
Way better slogan.
Way better. Her message stunk, though.
Listen, if you're voting on slogans, this guy's got the best. Who's got 2 thumbs and has the best slogan? This guy.
I know it was a very tough night for Marco Rubio. He had a tough night, but he worked hard. He spent a lot of money. He is a lightweight, as I've said many times before. But you know what? We're going to go to Florida. We're going to spend so much time in Florida. We've got about a 20-point lead. I know that a lot of groups, a lot of the special interests, and a lot of the lobbyists and the people that want to have their little senator do exactly as they want. They're going to put
Chris,
20
for those
or 25
of you can't
million
watch
dollars
this,
into it over the
Chris
next
Christie
2 weeks
is just standing over his shoulder.
Just like scowling
frankly,
almost.
I think that's fine. As far as I'm concerned, it's fine.
Hanging out.
And if he wins, they'll have totally control. Total control. But he's not going
president.
Anywhere anyway. Right. But we'll see what happens. But we're going to spend a lot of time in Florida. The Virginia win was just a great win because it's a place that is just spectacular and a place that we have big investments in, as we have in Florida. Remember, we have thousands of employees in Florida, all along Miami.
And I've told them all they're fired if they don't vote for me.
And so many other places. Look, and it's been an amazing place to invest.
Business.
It's been amazing to have so many wonderful employees, some of whom are here tonight, really urging us on. And, you know, I have thousands of employees all over the country, actually all over the world. But for purposes of tonight, we'll just say all over the country. And it's been just so beautiful to watch this company grow and to watch it grow so strongly. Recent articles came out talking about how great a company we built. And now we want to put that same ability into doing something for our nation. I mean, our nation is in serious trouble. We're being killed on trade, absolutely destroyed.
There we go.
China is just taking advantage of us. I have nothing against China. I have great respect for China, but their leaders are too smart for our leaders. Our leaders don't have a clue. And the trade deficits at $400 billion and $500 billion.
All right, do we want to listen to all this stuff?
Too much. No country can sustain.
Trump has won Alabama, Georgia, Massachusetts, Tennessee, and Virginia. My buddy Hunter's going to love that he won Massachusetts.
Really?
He hates Trump.
Oh, I thought you were being serious.
No, he fucking hates Trump.
All right. They're killing us on the border.
It's just, okay. Now he's just talking China and China and the border and stuff, so. Anyway, so Trump and Hillary have a very good night tonight. A very, very good night tonight.
I can't fucking believe it.
Well, you kind of saw it coming, though, right?
I did, but at the same time, you're like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on.
A lot of people are also like, really? This is we're doing this, huh? All right, here we go. Yeah, 'cause
okay.
You look at, I'm going to refresh this.
See, this is where you'll see all these people. They're like, like they will vote for their team. You will have a fuckload of people vote Republican that'll vote for Donald Trump because he's got an R next to his name and he's a fucking ass clown.
Like, but he's gonna make America great again.
That, like, he's got no substance to anything he says.
He's gonna have to though soon. See, he's getting to the point where.
But there's okay. Hillary's been doing this for what? 40 years?
At least.
45, 50 years?
At least.
You can't figure this shit out in the next 6 months.
Well.
Like, there's just no way.
Sarah Palin tried.
She tried and she failed.
She didn't do too well.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's a lot on both sides of vote solely for DRR. We just played a few minutes ago, Bob. We played a video. It was a debate between Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. And you'd have thought a couple of fucking socialists were up there talking about.
Yeah, they're all in support of. Let's open those borders. Let's let them come across. They can pay taxes. Let's welcome them in.
I did listen to a podcast today from a foreign policy podcast. I think it's Foreign Policy.
Sounds like a fun. Is it boring?
No, it's incredibly interesting. I really enjoy it.
They keep your attention?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I look forward to it. Like, I listen to it like within like 30 minutes of them dropping it.
Really?
Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
What's it called? Don't give a plug.
Foreign Policy Podcast.
It's literally called Foreign Policy.
No, let me find it.
I thought you just said it was a podcast about foreign policy.
They're good at foreign policy, not Trump marketing.
Okay, yeah.
No, I think it's just the FP, Foreign Policy
Okay.
Editor's Roundtable.
I thought it was something all a little different. Like, it's literally the Foreign Policy Podcast.
Yeah, let me pull it up. Hold up.
Okay. Anyway, we played this great clip, Bob. And it was amazing because you listen to stuff like Trump says at rallies, and then you hear Ronald Reagan saying, "Yes, bring them over," and it's like, yeah. What? Like
it's FP's the editors roundtable.
FP's roundtable.
So you have the editors, from Foreign Policy Magazine get together, and then they just discuss global issues. So one of the things that I was saying that I heard about was with NATO being propped up by the U.S. and all that earlier. They were discussing that today. And then they were also discussing Reagan. Sorry, I was looking at a thing saying Trump.
He's talking still.
They're discussing Reagan and how when you have issues like Libya come up in Gaddafi or Syria and you've got Assad, Reagan's foreign policy was... Give that guy a golden parachute and get him the fuck out of there. Right? Regime change was by paying that guy to leave, and then we do a regime change after that. And it just seems so much smarter because we're going to do that after 5 years and got, 800,000 people dead in Syria and millions of refugees and a war-torn country that won't be the same again for another century. You could have just paid that fucking guy to leave. Kept ISIS out of there.
Somebody flew a drone through Syria. Did you see that video? They flew a drone, like an HD quality video drone.
Oh, yeah.
It is just demolished. It looks like what Europe looked like
through Aleppo. I think I did see that. They flew it through Aleppo.
They did. It looked like Europe after World War II, where everything mm-hmm. was just bombed and just it is just war torn to death.
And see, the difference between Europe and Syria is when things quiet down,
yeah,
no one will look at Syria
anymore. Nope, not at all.
No one's going to help them build schools or roads or hospitals or infrastructure at all or get them running water. So it'll just fester, and you'll have fucking ISIS come in or Al-Qaeda come in or whomever, Islamic Brotherhood come in, and it'll just be a fucking cesspool where they don't have any positive influence other than the radicals who are able to be more radical than the next guy. Because you and I go in there and try and fix things by ourselves, like an NGO, yeah. or you and I are millionaires, and we're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get some fuckers running water. We're going to go build a school or a hospital or do something good for Aleppo. You and I don't have the muscle or the constitution, the intestinal fortitude to do the disgusting things. I don't want to say the intestinal fortitude, but we don't have the they're just, you have the IS come in, and they'll fucking kill you, and somehow blame us for how shitty things are. And they'll keep it shitty, and they'll keep the people dumb, and then they'll tell them the only way to get out of this is to go to heaven. You gotta blow yourself up, so go find a guy with an American flag patch on his shoulder or his hat, and then wear this vest, and get close, and Allahu Akbar, and click.
You know, Allahu Akbar.
No, like, really?
It's true.
Like, that,
it's true.
That's what's gonna happen. I know. Because we're just gonna go, whew. Oh, glad people stop killing each other. We are great at this whole foreign policy thing.
Awesome.
And then there'll just be a smoldering little fuckerow going on there for perpetuity.
You just made up a new word, I think. Fuckerow.
Yeah. No, I read a book.
Is it a fuckerow? Is there actually a word?
No, it was Dreamcatcher by, I think, Dean Koontz.
Okay.
I think it was Dean Koontz. I don't know. Somebody can
Google it.
Figure it out. Google it. Yeah.
Goggle it.
It was Dreamcatcher. And there was a fuckerow and a fuckeree. And I always thought that was really funny because they're like, look at this fuckerow. And a fuckerow is a bad thing. And a fucker. Okay. And then it goes to a fuckeroo or fuckeree. But there's definitely the fuckerow was a real thing in the book. And yeah. It was a bad thing. And then either fuckeroo or fuckeree was a good thing.
You're going to have to work that in when we talk politics more often.
Right. I think we're going to have to interview somebody. Like, by the time, I think we'll have listenership. By the time November comes around, Trump will be on. I think we ought to invite Trump. Like, even if it, like, just invite him. Like, we'll get an extra chair right here.
Yeah.
And then you don't have you've got the 802. I'll have to bring my mixing board over.
We'll have to.
Got the 804.
Sean's talking shit about my setup right now. Everybody.
It's just a little guy.
He's just a little.
It's just a little guy.
I only need it for me. What are you talking about? I only need it for me. It's fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
We should invite him and see if we can get him on. We'll tell him our listenership is like 800,000.
Yeah, just bombarded.
All of Iowa listens to us. You haven't heard us because we're moderates.
We haven't shared. I've shared it with some people in the state, but as soon as I say politics, they go, "Oh, I don't want to listen." I was like, "No, no, no." We drink beer and we just kind
of make fun of people.
They're like, "I don't know, man." Not that everybody in Iowa sounds like me, but they just kind of assume like, "Okay, you have a," because I mean, and it's not totally wrong because we live in the Fox News, CNN, MSNBC world where there's always someone.
Well, look at Sub Bob. I taught at the Army Command and General Staff College for 8 years. Taught Army majors what we're on the ground for OEF and OIF. There are many things that are not known and that will remain classified for 25 to 30 years. I have no doubt about that.
Makes sense.
No doubt about that. But I also know that that I have a feeling that Bob here is going to have a hell of a lot better idea of how to handle things on the ground than anybody in Washington.
Well, Trump's going to get the best people. He's going
to... The best people, yeah. I'd rather have fucking Bob... as Secretary of Defense than anybody Trump would appoint, probably.
Probably. Hey, we got Goosey. Goosey's here. Hey, Goosey.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Eh.
So how was the Minnesota caucus?
What a fucking nightmare.
So take us through this. Was it similar to what we experienced, or is it different?
It's essentially yes and no. I live in a very remote area of the state that is on the Iron Range, the big Iron... Or the Mesabi, not Mesabi, fucking The iron ore mines, you know, that kind of shit.
Sort of, kind of.
But, I mean, it's staunchly fucking Democrat around here.
Really? I thought really? I thought it would be more conservative up there.
Iron, like, so you're around iron mines and then a lot of Dems. If you see a fucking
Democratic sign in a yard, it's gone within like an hour and a half. Because somebody will come rip it out and probably really? Take a dump in a paper sack and throw it on their porch or something and let it on fire. But
that's a little aggressive.
Wait, so you have a lot of Dems in your area?
Yes. And you said if there was a Republican yard sign. A lot of Democrats.
So if there's a Republican sign in somebody's yard, they yank it out, basically.
Yes. They'll yank it out and, yeah, gotcha. Probably.
That surprises me because I would think being up north, because we're from a pretty much a dominantly red state as well, that the more north you go, the more conservative people tend to be, but maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was more south you go.
It's strange, but, I mean, it's to the point where 4 years ago when they had the Romney caucus, the guy that was that guy that runs it said he had 10 people.
Really?
10 people in a... They cover three or four precincts, and there's, I'd say, about 3,000 people combined in those precincts.
Mm-hmm.
And
tonight was like a record turnout, wasn't it?
There was a little over 300 people, and they had two people working.
Wow. Oh,
so
wow.
I walked in the door early, like way before anybody got there. And here I'm pressed into work. I'm counting votes. I'm signing people up. And so I'm running my ass off trying to get this thing going. Here I went. I was just going to go vote, and
you got roped into it.
Donald Trump ran fucking train.
See, I'm looking for the results in Minnesota. Have they not released results in Minnesota yet, or is it? I'm looking and seeing
a very few of them. There, I saw there was like two precincts reporting, and Cruz is ahead by 4% or something like that.
Minnesota, it says results available soon, so no one's officially committing to any results yet in Minnesota yet. So I don't know what the holdup is with Minnesota. But Trump's still talking, by the way. By the way, we need to talk to Goosey about this, because Goosey, you are a Trump voter, correct?
Yes.
So we've been trying to figure out the last hour or so the motivation behind people getting behind Trump, because when we did the Iowa caucus podcast, we felt like, okay, there's a chance things may not be going the way people were expecting. Like, everybody was expecting Hillary to have a cakewalk, and then Bernie comes up, and then you have Cruz, although Cruz was expected in Iowa just because it's very religious around here. But there was so many people saying there's no way Trump gets this nomination. You look at the delegate count right now, and as of right now, they're still totaling stuff. He has 221. The next closest person right now is Cruz with 69. So he's just way ahead. And then you look at the Democratic side, and Hillary right now has 878 to Bernie's 230. So it's pretty, I mean, mathematically, yes, there's more states to go. There's more votes to cast. But it's pretty much, it's safe to say it's going to be Trump and Hillary at this point. But what drew you to vote for Trump? I mean, was it just the message, or was it... just because you were sick of the usual politician kind of stuff that we're used to seeing?
In a way, I'm a little bit sick of the little politics, but I look at this country as a business. And Donald Trump is successful in running a fucking business. And I believe this country needs to be run like a business. And I believe you need to have somebody who's got a spine and a backbone, unlike our current president. And I believe Donald Trump's the best guy for the job.
Because that's been the bit of criticism.
I understand he comes out and he says, you know, screw black people and,
well, he hasn't said
you
that,
know, white lives matter and all this other shit. But
he hasn't said screw black people.
You know, I can get behind that. I can forgive that.
The one thing, too, and I wanted to find out from you, because I'm sure you were around other people, too, that were voting for Trump. The one stigma I keep hearing is that angry white guys are voting for Trump. And I don't know if that's being too, it almost seems like that's too easy of a thing to say. Like, I want to think it's a fairly diverse amount of people. I mean, I don't have like demographics and stats and stuff, but I feel like it's not just, it can't be just angry white dudes voting for this guy. But
No.
Unfortunately, when you see rallies, you see angry white dudes. So that's what people, I think, have just kind of associated loosely with him is just, you know, God damn it, I want this, you know, I want this country back, you know.
It's a lot of young people. And I mean young, fresh out of the gate, first time voting.
Okay.
You know, they're fucking just get, you know, sucked in by the lure and the, oh, it's Donald Trump. He's a celebrity.
I see what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what we did too. When I saw him giving helicopter rides to kids in Iowa at the Iowa State Fair, I was like, okay, that's cute. He's not going to get the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get the nomination. I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, mathematically, I mean, there's a thing on CNN right now that says he has an 80% chance of becoming the nominee and Hillary has a 95% chance. So it's not completely locked up yet, but it's pretty much, I mean.
I don't think Bernie stands a chance, which I feel bad for Bernie because, you know, 90% of this country is fucking naive and doesn't realize how much of a fucking dishonest, criminalistic cunt Hillary is.
And a lot of people he's the angry white Trump voter right now. But honestly, though, a lot of people do feel that way about Hillary. Like I don't think I can vote for her. I pretty much know I can't vote for her. And that's going to be the tough choice of Trump getting the nomination, Hillary getting the nomination. Is there a third party option? Does that even factor in at all whatsoever? I saw Bloomberg was teasing something, but I don't know.
Jesse Ventura was threatening to run, which I almost fell out of my chair when I read it.
Well, he always does that. He's always jumping in there, but
yeah.
I don't know if a third party candidate would work. It could. The only way that I think it maybe possibly could work is because this process right now is so strange in terms of the candidates becoming nominees that maybe that works. I don't know. I'm not saying that person could become president, but it may not be your Ross Perot, you know, that kind of a situation where someone just like you're throwing your vote away if you vote for Ross Perot or you vote for Ralph Nader and you're throwing your vote away. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. So we just lost Goosey. All right.
We lost you.
We lost me.
Can you hear him, Goose?
Yeah, he's got me still.
Adam's offline.
It says I'm offline?
Yeah, you're offline. You better redo your thing, man.
Okay, let me refresh it here. Hold on.
So, Goose, so when you look at the country, you look at it as running a business. So what skills about running
the
business?
Can you hear him?
Adam went offline.
It said I went offline, so
can you hear me right now, Goose?
Fuck.
Can you hear me, Goose?
He can't hear you because you have to turn your shit on, but hold on. Let me back out. Let me call in. Here we go. I should be back. All right, I'm back. Sorry. Okay. Continue.
Can you hear us now, Goose?
He's back.
Yeah, he's got us now. You got us. Do you hear both of us now?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. So you said that you like that Trump can run a business you think the government should be run like a business. And I think you're right. My dad works at government, and he is the top of the chain and a taxing authority for a park district. So he has a board he reports to, but as a park district, it's his own taxing authority, and he runs it like a business, he's not in debt. They have great amenities. Everything's beautiful. He's an old school Republican, and I can see it work. What skills do you see Trump having that draw you to him that say, okay, this guy can run a business, even knowing that he's has had three of his ventures go south out of how many, I don't know. What do you say to that? Coming into how shitty it is right now.
I just look at the success rate. I mean, he's got all these adventures and three of them have failed. I mean, a successful person in life has failures along the way. I mean, not everything is going to be peachy and roses and, oh, he's made everything perfect. But I just look at the great body of work that Trump has done in businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump Tower and is probably one of the most successful businesses out there. And I just think that, you know, what's Cruz or Rubio or Kasich or even Carson done that Trump hasn't.
So let me ask you, do you think that if someone came in with different, let's say the same amount of success in the business world. Jeff Bezos. I don't even know Jeff Bezos, what his political leanings are, or Zuckerberg, or somebody who's had an amazing amount of success. Elon Musk came in, amazing amount of success in the business world, but was a little bit more moderate. Maybe they don't want to report every Mexican. They don't want a carpet bomb. I think that was a Cruz thing, though. Maybe a little bit more socially moderate. Would you still like that person's stance, or do you like some of the other stances Trump has?
No, I would like that person's stance. You know, and the Trump stuff, I mean, yeah, he says all this stuff. I don't think he means 90% of what he says, but he's got the media and the public in the palm of his hand, and he can say whatever the hell he wants, and people will just go crazy because he said what he said.
Yep.
So that's why I think he says.
I successfully avoided a lot of his rhetoric until he said something about suing journalists that do hit pieces on him. And I was like,
yeah.
What? Like, come on. You can't sue a journalist. You can't do that. Silly. That's what their job is. They're supposed to do hit pieces on you. They're supposed to keep you honest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, right.
So for you, Ken, it's strictly the. I think
business
he's been
success.
He's been successful in the past in running a business in a large organization.
Yeah.
And I think if I equate a large organization to the government, and I look at the government as a large organization, I can trim some fat, make some things happen a little bit better. You think that's the reason you're going that Trump
absolutely
appeals to? Okay.
And I'm looking at some results coming in from Minnesota. Rubio is actually in lead with 32% so far. There's only 2% reporting, though, so there's still quite a ways to go.
Yeah, I feel like Minnesota's going to be that one state that's going to give Marco Rubio the false sense of hope that he needs to stay in the election. I really don't think Rubio stands a chance in the long term.
Trump just called him a lightweight tonight during his speech. He's actually still talking, but he called him a lightweight right away.
Dude,
so.
Christie has been attentive.
Yeah.
He has been, like, mean mugging the back of Donald Trump's head for the last 40 minutes.
Yeah, Christie has this, like, I don't know if I want to do this or I want to be here.
Look. I think I made a bad choice.
Yeah. That's what it looks
like. I think I made a bad choice.
His
face is
really, he's been making this weird face behind Trump.
He looks like somebody's been whispering into his ear.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I'm going to indict you soon.
I'm going to indict you soon. Your bridge gate is coming to haunt
and I,
you.
You know what would entertain the shit out of me is if we get into July or August and everything's set and it's Trump versus Hillary.
Yeah.
And then somebody just goes and slaps Hillary with a fucking indictment.
Yeah, it's
for
very
her
possible.
Emails. It's possible. Bob knows. Like, eventually when we get Bob on here, I want to talk to Bob about how to handle emails because he's had to do it. He said he had TSSEI. I think it was TS. I don't know. It was TSSCI.
It's up in chat somewhere.
TSSCI. TSSCI. And I want to hear about handling emails because Bob, and I know this, Bob would have been under the fucking jail if he'd have done any of that shit that she had with emails. And the only reason none of them were marked classified is because they came to her before they went to the people who marked them classified.
That's right.
You're the Secretary of State.
We can't bring it up, Sean, because we're all under the same tent, so we're not supposed to
bullshit.
Talk about it.
No. Yeah. I'll make fun of Donald Trump, and then I'll make fun of Hillary Clinton, and then I'll make fun of Bernie Sanders. Like, if you're saying stupid shit to appeal to a party or appeal to a base, I'm going to make fun of you.
There you go.
But I do, Ken, you know what,
you
man?
Goosey?
Goosey.
He's
sorry,
used to
Goosey.
Yeah.
Goosey, I do. You know, I respect your opinion on Trump. You know, if you boil it down, he has the most business success out of anybody out there. And if you look at it from a business point of view and you equate it to a business, running a large organization, bickety bam, there's that Trump has. Or at least he's been at the top of it.
Crazy stat tonight from my precinct alone. Rand Paul got more votes than Carson, Kasich, and Cruz.
Wow, and he's not even in it
really
anymore. Interesting.
No.
That's interesting.
There was, I think, 148 people, and Trump had like 118. Rubio had 20, and then Paul had the rest.
That's
so, like, for Rand Paul almost beat Marco Rubio. It was like,
that's very random. Yeah. Very random. Well, Goosey, yeah, thanks for calling in. And
yep, no problem.
Live report from Minnesota is Goosey. Yes. So thank you, sir.
All right.
From the land of Bork Lake.
You guys.
All right, that's Goosey. Let's bring
our northern correspondent up there.
He is our northern correspondent.
Let's chat with Sub Bob.
All right, let's try to get Bob in here. Let's see. It's Bob King. With a
powerful... Hey, guys.
Yeah, there's Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Okay, there we go. We got you in here now, Bob.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. Good.
We're talking Trump.
Yeah, thanks for all the patience with me trying to get in there. I'm actually on my iPad over my AT&T wireless because every once in a while my Time Warner just freaks out. I'm supposed to have like over 100 meg up to 300 meg on my Time Warner, and sometimes I get faster on my wireless. So,
okay.
My AT&T wireless, that is. So a couple things. One, I just have a little joke for you. I'm going to turn this around a second so that the audience can see that map. Can you see the map?
Sure.
Do I have that about
yep,
right?
Yep.
That county map. Okay. So that was that is actually like the 2000 map, but the 2004 one wasn't much different. And I was teaching at the Command and General Staff College at that time. And a guy in the office next to me, it was, you know, a self-proclaimed moderate, you know, he's like, I don't vote party lines. I vote the position, the person and all this. And so this happens and we're coming up on the 04 election. And he's like, I wish people would just talk the issues. He said, I think someday things are going to get so bitter that there's just going to be another civil war breaking out. Now, I believe, you know, I don't know whether you guys are fans, hate, love, moderate, whatever, Limbaugh. One thing I do like about him is how he demonstrates the absurdity with the absurd thing, you know, goes, takes arguments to the extreme until people come back and go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. So I showed him that map. And I said, hey, Fred, you know what? Bring it on. Because you see all those all those blue places? They don't believe in guns, and we make the food.
That's true. Exactly right.
It's very true.
You know, so, I mean, I said that. I wasn't, you know, obviously wanting to have an armed rebellion or anything. But I was, you know, I was making a point to him that, you know, if you've seen the old movie Escape from New York, right,
yes,
with, what's his face in it?
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, right? You know, how long would those cities fend for their own, you know, the average apartment in New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles, you know, once the power goes off and they can't get to the store anymore, we've seen Walking Dead,
fucked.
Right?
Yeah, so, they're all
and
fucked.
I'm not advocating that, but I'm just saying, looking at that map, it's really, really meaningful. And there was a stat in the last election. Well, there's a stat every year on how many people in the U.S. are not paying taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bring it to the local level. Imagine that there's a city of 100,000 people, right? And 60,000 of the 100,000 voting people, and 60,000 of them are not paying taxes.
Jeez.
Right? And you put something on the ballot that anybody that earns over $1 million a year has to give 50% of it to the city, right? What happens when the majority can determine what the minority spends their taxes on?
It's interesting.
You know. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but it's a scary thought.
But this whole process right now feels really strange to me, just because.
Yeah.
I've never seen a time where it. And granted, you know, in the last 10 years, obviously I've been more heavily involved in politics, but or at least paid attention to it more and had conversations with friends and family. But I've never seen a time where friends of mine or family of mine that are part of a certain party, maybe more so Republicans, because we're surrounded by more Republicans being in Iowa. That are so anti-Trump, and he's pretty much going to be the guy for them. And it's just a strange, like, I'm used to everybody kind of falling in line going like, okay, I like this guy, but if this guy becomes the nominee, I'm fine with that. I've never seen a point where people are like, fuck this guy. If he becomes the nominee, it's going to ruin everything. I am not going to vote for, like, it's just it's very strange. It's very, very strange. I've not seen it this way. And even on the Democratic side, too, there was a woman from Hawaii who served in the Iraq War who came out supporting Bernie Sanders over Hillary. And people are like, well, she's a woman. She should support Hillary.
Is that Tammy Duckworth?
I think so. I can't remember her name. She's been on Bill Maher's show a couple times. But she endorsed Sanders, and everyone was like, oh my God, she endorsed Sanders. It's crazy. But I don't know. It's just it's weird on both sides. There's Democrats that are anti-Hillary and want to go for Sanders, and then there's people that are for Hillary, and they think Sanders is an evil socialist. Well, I mean, he's a Democratic socialist, so it's not like off base calling him a socialist. But and then the Republican side people hate Trump, and then I don't know. It's just weird. I have never seen it this way before. It's really strange.
Well, and I think it was, and I'm sorry, I can't see. It says Flyover Politics. What's your on my iPad? I can't see your name in the upper.
It's Sean.
Oh, Sean. Sean. Sorry.
Sean. Sorry. I just lost the. So in 1990, I got to get the math right. No, 92. All right. I was one of the sheeple. I'll describe myself as a sheeple. I was one of the sheeple that voted for Ross Perot, and I will never vote for a third party candidate again. Because you look at the numbers afterwards, and I bear the shame and responsibility of helping put Bill Clinton in office.
I feel like Ross Perot let his followers down by not continuing, because every year he had a growing following, right?
Yeah.
And I think that today we would be better off with a three-party system. First off, I think parties are an awful idea. I think a person ought to stand up there and ought to say what they think, and be judged for it by voters, whether they, without the crutch for the misinformed of a party affiliation, right? So,
right.
Bob, it seems like you are pretty well informed, but you and I both know that by and large the American public is uninformed, and then there is a large amount of people who are uninformed and vote. Which is their constitutional right, but it's a fucking crutch that you get some hillbilly moron or some inner city dumbass or some, big city with some big city attitude or just some fucker that walks in and goes D all the way down or R all the way down. Don't even think about anything. Don't research. Don't listen to anybody's position. And I think it's a crutch. And so
right.
I don't think you should beat yourself up on a third party. And you should.
Yeah.
I think you should
say that you tried for a third party. I say
that
a little tongue in cheek. But yeah. So 1996, I was in Orlando, Florida for the third time. By the way, Sub Bob is derived from Submarine Bob. I was in the Navy for 21 years.
Okay. All right. I thought you liked Subway.
1996. Oh shit, we're recording, aren't we? So 1996, I was in Orlando for the third time. I'd gone through nuclear power school, enlisted, then I went through nuclear power school officer, and then I was teaching there in 1996. And we were on the side of Orlando where all Disney is and all that, because our kids were in school there, so we wanted to be where the good schools were. And we had gone to this person's house. Her husband was a producer for Nickelodeon, and my wife's in the kitchen with her, and she brings up the upcoming election, and the lady with a straight face says to my wife, "What, you pay attention to all that? You don't just vote based upon what they look like?"
Oh my God.
I mean, this was a woman that was nearly 40 years old,
Yeah.
I mean, her husband made six figures, right? And she's like, "I don't really pay attention to that. It's just, he's cute. I'm going to vote for him."
Oh, wow.
Literally. I mean,
doesn't it kill you? They have the same constitutional right. It doesn't kill me that they have the same constitutional right.
No, I know.
But I like that they have the same constitutional right to vote and have their voice heard. But there's a part of me that's just like, God damn it, their vote should not count the way mine does. Like, I get that everybody has to have that ability. And I'm sure that at some point somebody will drag that clip out and go, look, that fucking guy doesn't believe in the Constitution. But at the same time, you get somebody who goes, oh, he's better looking, I'm going to vote for him. Or, I like the way that Trump waves his hands at the debates. I'm going to vote for him.
That's what happened with Nixon and Kennedy. When people watched it, they thought Kennedy won, and people that listened to it on the radio thought Nixon won. It was just a weird...
It's a weird
way of voting.
So during that same time frame that I was teaching there at that school, one of the other officers that had been on the same submarine as me was there. And to put a little context, in our submarine ward room, underway, you know, underwater, he made a statement. Someone said something about the ACLU, and one person said, well, you know, I'll just say Fred again. I don't want to use his real name. He said, Fred, you know, the ACLU is the one that's supporting people's rights to burn the flag. And, you know, and Fred says, well, I think they should be able to. It's freedom of speech. Our XO turned about as red in the face as my shirt and said, Fred, get out of our wardroom. You're too liberal to be a naval officer.
Wow.
No, he was joking.
Joking, obviously.
But so this same guy, and again, I'm going to still call him Fred, I'm at, and I don't know, this one's really sensitive. I don't know what your guys' rules are. Would you, for this one, could you pause it for a moment when I tell this story?
If you want me to, yeah, if it helps.
If you don't mind, okay.
Okay, because we have, okay.
Pause recording.
Because I'm gonna use the H word, so as in the guy that led Germany, okay? So... I just didn't want, so again, like you said there, Sean, getting taken out of context. So I'm in the office. My office was next door. John taught chemistry. I taught in the office next door, and I taught reactor dynamics and core characteristics or nuclear physics. And so I'm arguing with John because the election's
recording
coming up.
Again, pause it real quick.
Do I need to pause it?
Sorry. Yes, please. Sorry.
Okay.
So
pause.
Yeah. Just do a game on when you're done.
So I'm arguing with John, and I'm trying to make points with him. And it's like, you know how you're arguing with somebody to a point, and you're trying to make what you think are logical arguments, and the person's just not getting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's our lunchtime, and I finally said, John, look, I don't know how to explain it any clearer than this. I would vote, and I remember I'm in uniform. I'm a Navy lieutenant, right? So you're supporting in. And Bill Clinton, then President Bill Clinton, was the commander in chief, right? And mm-hmm. I said, John, I would vote for Hitler before I would vote for Clinton if Hitler had an artist. Now, I didn't really mean that, right?
You know, right.
But I was just frustrated. So I, about 15 minutes go by, I go upstairs and I go into my classroom. Now there's 20, 25 ensigns in there and two Navy commanders, because the Navy commanders, they're going to command aircraft carriers.
And JAG.
They have to go through nuclear power school before they can be XOs of aircraft carriers. So anyway, mm-hmm. I walk in the door and 27 Navy officers stand up and go, oh, Hitler. Because one of them was out in the hallway and heard me, right? I thought my career was over.
Oh, boy.
But that's the joke. I mean, it was just like, okay. I just stood there with a stunned look on my face. And I went, what the hell?
Bunch of ensigns and a couple 06s in the back going, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's great. That was.
So where do you stand in terms of a candidate? Do you have a candidate, or are you just kind of where we're at, where we're just like, this is the strangest thing ever?
You know, I didn't really get into this one. I've been burned out.
It's kind of hard.
I was a campaign manager for a Senate race a few years back, and the way that they raise money drives me crazy, because I sent the whatever it is, the NRSC, National Republican Senatorial Committee, I sent them a $50 donation for my friend's campaign. And mm-hmm. with it, I sent a letter that said, if I ever receive another, I said, I don't want a single dollar of this being spent to mail me for more money. Hmm. This was like in 2000, right? And I said, if I ever receive another single piece of thing from you asking for money, I will never contribute again. And I haven't. Because they spend like 60 to 70% of every dollar asking for more money.
They do.
That annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Right? And, but, you know, Trump, I told a good friend of mine, Trump wasn't even my 10th choice 2 years ago. He wasn't even my 10th choice a year ago. But if there's an R next to his name, I'll vote for him. Because, and it's not that I believe in him. What I believe is that he'll put a good team around him. Just like you said, he's ran businesses. Someone said, I mean, the other guy that was in here, I believe that he will pick a good cabinet, and he's closer to what I believe in than anyone else on the other side.
Because Hillary is obviously not an option, and Bernie's not going to get the nomination. So that's I wonder if that's what's going to happen with a lot of people. They're going to say,
yeah.
I don't want to vote for Hillary.
I can
side with a lot of the stuff Trump does. So let's try this Trump thing and let's see how this works out, you know, and they'll see if it. I don't know. There's a part of me that doesn't want Donald Trump to have the nuke codes, but I also understand why people would, like you're talking the business side of them. I totally get that. I can't disagree with you on that stuff.
Well, here's a question for you, Bob. So, having never been in the military, Adam and I have never been in the military, when put yourself back on a sub, current day, and you're looking around
What?
Who? So you have the opportunity of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, who are managing at the top your ass, and then managing at the top our international relations with China and with Russia and with North Korea and Pakistan. And then you are the guy who is trolling around the South China Sea or the North Atlantic. Who are you more comfortable with to manage you as a United States asset better?
Okay. So to answer your question, I'll tell you a story. And while I was teaching at the Army Command and General Staff College, I went out to Fort Belvoir for 3 months to teach out there because they have a satellite campus out there and they didn't have enough people hired to do it. So we sent somebody, they call it temporary duty, out there.
Mm-hmm.
While there, I didn't have classes to teach on Tuesdays. So instead of hanging out at Fort Belvoir, I went into the Beltway and I would go to things like Armed Services Committee meetings. So I was in the room when the Senate Armed Services Committee took the testimony from the combatant commanders, like the commander of CENTCOM and the commander of UCOM. And Senator Hillary Clinton was on the panel. Politically, I do not, I don't agree with her politically. But I came back and I told my friends who knew that I leaned right, I said, she asked the best questions of anybody on that panel.
Mm-hmm.
Her insightful questions and all that. So foreign relations wise, she's got a good head on her shoulders, right?
Yep.
Now, there's still a lot of doubts over what happened with Benghazi and this email and all that. But to answer your question, if I could take just the foreign policy piece and put it into somebody else's head, her. But there's too many risks. I'd be fine with Trump because there's enough checks and balances. I served on two ballistic missile submarines. There's, we don't have to worry about Trump having the codes. It's a deterrent.
Right. Well, I'm not. I don't think he's going to wake up one day and go, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's send the little missile over Putin's neighborhood and see how he reacts. That's a negotiating tactic. I don't think he'll do that. And I think there are enough checks and balances that stop it. But what I mean is, what startled me the other night was, sorry, priorities.
Yeah,
now, what startled me the other night was listening to Chris Christie and Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And by the other night, I think like a month and a half ago, at a debate. And they were trying to out big balls each other. Like, that's all I can say. They were trying to prove that they were the ones who would put bombers in the air first. They're the ones who would be the most boisterous. Chris Christie said that he would have the U.S. shoot down Russian planes if he established a no-fly zones. Ted Cruz wanted to carpet bomb, wanted to see if the sand could glow. And so when I think of that, all I can think about is you are a political animal using a military apparatus for advancement, not thinking of things in like a geopolitical chessboard. And guys like you are pawns. Like, to them, you are not a United States asset. You are an extension of their dick. you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
And I put an acronym in there, and it's actually PMEASY now. I don't want to get into that, but DIME, Diplomatic, Informational, Military, and Economic. It's the instruments of national power. Because, not to go off too down of a rat hole, but when I taught at the college, I was in the Department of Joint Interagency and Multinational Operations. So we taught at the strategic level.
Mm-hmm.
We read the National Security Strategy, and anyway, we're getting off your Super Tuesday thing. But
this drills down into some things that Adam and I want people.
Yeah.
Adam and I are
our
focus on this is to be somewhat entertaining, be able to drink beers for fun, and then talk about things. But also, if somebody walks away from a conversation that Adam and I have, and they have a little bit more information than when it came in, fucking great.
There you go.
So continue, sir.
So Newt Gingrich, long after he was a political animal, so this would have been like, say, 2006, 2007 timeframe, he came and talked. There's a second year course there. It's called the School for Advanced Military Studies. It's the planners. They get a special designation to be on the staff to plan operations. He came and spoke to them, and he laid out a scenario where when you're doing something like Iraq or Afghanistan, if you were to bring in a PhD, culturally attuned, someone that knew not just the Iraqi culture, but if these three blocks are one sect of Islam and these four blocks are another sect of Islam, so you have different battalions doing it, you bring in someone who knows that specialty, right?
Yep.
And you hired them, say, for $100,000 or $200,000 a year, right? So, and if you put one in every battalion, it was going to, say, be $20 million, right? And he posed the question, and the kind of stuff that we've been doing the last, you know, 10 years or in the foreseeable future, what would be a better investment? Putting someone like that in every single combat or stabilization, you know, battalion, or one additional B-1 bomber or one additional submarine for five times that cost.
Yeah, the dude, the attaché, no doubt. Yeah.
And the point it being, it's such a convoluted system. Term limits, money in politics, as you've already discussed. And when you look at our latest planes, like the B-2 bomber and all that, did you know there's parts in that plane that are made in nearly every state in the union?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Congress won't put the kibosh on it.
Right. But so when you, but if you hire, if you spend $20 million to hire, you know, 100 professors, that doesn't employ anybody in anybody's district. So where's the advocate in Congress to do what's good for the nation, not just good for their district?
Right.
Makes sense. Makes total sense. Well, I think this has been.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling in, and we're getting perspective on the Trump voter, because I was saying earlier in the podcast, I keep hearing in the media it's just angry white dudes wanting to vote for Trump, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think everyone kind of has a reason. So we got your side, we got Goosey's side. So I think we're getting to the bottom of this a little bit. But thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for
letting me. Thanks, Bob. Good meeting you.
That is Bob King joining us on the podcast here. Good stuff there. So we're your favorite dude, Ted Cruz, just talked for a while.
I saw that. I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
You want Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down them dang old plains there. Tell you what.
So here's a conversation that you're going to see in the next couple of days, I bet.
What's up?
You're going to see Cruz and Rubio harping at each other that they should drop out. So probably Ben Carson will drop out. Kasich might. I don't know what Kasich is going to do. But I think Cruz and Rubio... Now we're going to start taking pot shots at each other,
okay,
saying that one or the other of them ought to drop out for the sake of the party. Kasich and Carson will maybe drop out. I think Kasich said that he was going to try and take it as far as he could. But then you'll have, let's see, between, Kasich almost beat Trump in Vermont.
He did.
But you see, between the three of them, supposedly, in some of these states...
Is it Kasich or Kasich?
It's Kasich. Rhymes with basic.
Okay. Kasich. I'm going to remember it now. So.
Well, he said that. I'm just repeating the Kasichism.
He wants to run a good, clean campaign, Sean. Yeah.
But if you look at it, Trump is maxing out at 40% of the vote in each of these states. So, I've proven wrong 3 seconds later. 44.8. So he's maxing out at, I've seen, 44.8%.
That was so beautiful how that worked out.
Like, fucking immediately. Okay. Immediately. So, presumably, if the other three dropped out and rallied behind Cruz or Rubio, you would be between, let's say, 60 and 50%, or 45 and 60% vote behind each of whoever that person is.
Roughly,
assuming that... none of those voters go to Trump. So right now, I think starting later tonight or tomorrow, they're going to start harping at each other really bad, not necessarily at Trump, because they know the only way for them to win, 48.6%. So he's maxing out at 50%. I'm just going to jump up to 50%.
Fucking Massachusetts. Yeah, they're all excited about him.
But I think that's what you're going to see starting tomorrow. They're going to lay off Trump. Because they know it's fruitless. They didn't do anything by laying into him. So I think that's what you're going to see tomorrow.
There you go. So what it was, Trump wins 5 states, Cruz takes 2, Hillary had 5, and then Bernie won like 2, I think, as well. I don't know. It's pretty much landslide victory for for Hillary and Trump. So I'm going to refresh the delegate count. Hillary's at 883, Sanders 232, and then on the Republican side, Trump is at 221, and then the next closest is Cruz with 69, Rubio 41, Kasich 19, and Carson 7. So it's starting to wind down. It looks like it's going to be Trump and Hillary. So the next podcast we do, I think we're going to be mentally preparing ourselves for Hillary Trump debates, and then they'll start announcing a vice president, and then we'll have a VP debate. And
I think we should do it before, hopefully before the, we should do one in the next couple weeks.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying the next time
and we then do a podcast, we should do a we should do
like a live
VP
debate.
Pick
VP picks,
VP
like
pick predictions. I think it's too early. I think it's too early right now. But I think we should do VP pick prediction.
That's Essie Cupp, by the way, who's way too hot to be a Republican, first of all.
Who?
The chick with the glasses. She's just way too attractive to be a Republican.
So I look at her, and I see a very smart woman on TV who earned her way there.
Yeah, I see a hot chick. I mean, she's smart, but she's an atheist Republican, but a lot of Republicans don't think she's really an atheist, because there's no way you could be in that Republican world and be against religion, because it's such a heavy religion base. But I can never tell. I don't know.
You know what? Maybe she is an atheist.
She may be. She'd be a rare one in that party. Okay, so big night for Trump, big night for Hillary. We'll come back with another podcast pretty soon, and we'll keep giving our thoughts. But man, just seems inevitable at this point. Looking at the numbers, it's gonna be
it's just more entertainment. Like when we started this podcast, we thought we were gonna be debating issues. No, it's just like we're part of the entertainment cycle. I'm kind of looking forward to when this shit's done and we can start talking about
who's
like articles I read about grain prices and land prices, like what we originally thought about this.
But it's totally.
But you and I got sucked up into this, we got making fun of Donald Trump.
They fucking sucked us in. I'm glad we got some perspective on Trump voters, though.
Yeah, I did too. I'm glad we got to talk to Goosey and Bob.
And Bob and Goosey both provided some good commentary. So.
And Bob made me feel pretty good, because evidently Hillary is pretty good about foreign relations. He said she was.
Right. So she had him quoting him, she has a good head on her shoulders. So if she becomes president, then I can't imagine everyone
It kind of surprised the shit out of me he said that. Like, that's good for you, Bob, for,
good shit. You just commended us on running a political blab that remained civil and objective. They must get very feisty on here with other political stuff, because we don't. If I honestly, if you are voting for somebody that I would never vote for, that's fine. I who cares?
Right.
It is what it is. Is what it is, everybody. Okay, we're going to get the fuck out of here. This was, I don't remember what podcast this was. I think it was number
six.
Seven.
We should start keeping track.
We probably should. It's on our feed. We are soundcloud.com/319flyover. That's where you can get the audio version of this podcast. We are at 319flyover on the Twitter. And those are the easiest places to find us. So you have anything else, Sean? Any closing thoughts?
Think for yourself.
That's what we end every show with.
Every show.
Every show. Think for yourself, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, guys.